her to Sunday school. Sometimes what our parents teach us sticks. But I will tell you, she did finally email me this week and asked me if I'd be willing to teach. I didn't answer the email.
Yes, she did. She said, "I wonder what took you so long."
Okay, I wonder what took you so long to ask me that question. Good morning, let us pray. Dear Lord, please calm our hearts, calm my heart. Thank you for bringing us all together today. And please, with your Holy Spirit, allow the words that I speak today and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. James 1, verse 1 from the Message. I, James, am a slave of God and the Master Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to kingdom come. Hello. Why James? 20 years ago, when I ran my hand down my throat and discovered a thing, I chose James 5:13 through 16 as my life verse, as they discovered that I had thyroid cancer. I'd like to read those verses for you this morning. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. As you can see, 20 years later, those prayers worked. I'm still cancer-free. So, praise Jesus. So who was James? James was the brother of Jesus. Either through Mary and Joseph, or Joseph and a former spouse. We don't know for sure, they don't really ever say in the Bible for sure, but it does make me wonder, as I read James, if he wrote this letter as a result of watching Mary and her treatment. Mary had a questionable pregnancy, a hasty marriage, took off to quickly visit her cousin Elizabeth, came home, went immediately to Bethlehem where she gave birth, quick retreat to Egypt. Women talk, and women know how to do math. Did Jesus sympathize with the Samaritan woman at the well because his own mother had to go to the well later in the day after the other women left? Did James caution about the danger of the tongue because he heard his mother crying? It's all speculation on my part, but it does make me wonder if part of Jesus' ministry and part of James's letter comes out of that reference. So I'm going to break the book of James into two parts. Today we're going to look at human attitudes. You know, we got some serious prejudice going on, judgment. We think we have all the wisdom in the world. And we have a little trouble with that submission thing. Then next week we're going to look at what James considers to be Christian conduct. These will be things like controlling our tongues, submitting to God and resisting evil, anointing of the sick, and acting on what we hear. But all of James funnels down to the royal rule of Scripture, which is in James 2, verse 8. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's so simple. I'm going to start with James 2, verses 1 through 7. Hear these words. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, here, have a seat, please. While the one who is poor, you say, you could stand over there or sit at my feet. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? So we will begin with prejudice. Webster's defines prejudice as judgment in disregard of one's rights, preconceived opinion without just grounds or before sufficient knowledge. So if you have two packages, one's beautifully wrapped, great care, pretty paper, pretty bow. Jenny Doremus wrapped this gift, it's beautiful. The other one I wrapped. It's sloppy, it's got old packing paper, it might have some duct tape on it somewhere because that's all I could find in the house. Which would you choose off the gift table? I'd reach for the one Jenny wrapped. I wouldn't take the one I wrapped. I believe we would all reach for that one that is pretty and someone took care to wrap. The gift must be as special as the wrapping, right? The Lord said to Samuel when he was tasked with anointing David as king in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, "People look at the outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart." We as humans, we use judgment and we think we're justified. The first time I had to visit a patient who lost her pregnancy in the hospital was an eye-opening experience. I went in thinking I was tending to this woman who just lost a pregnancy. I know that's a huge deal, but I thought it was just going to be a single grief, a single thing. However, as soon as she looked at me, it brought to her mind the church ladies. I was somebody representing the church, and it brought her to a completely different place. She shared with me how, as a single mother, she was judged and shunned by the church. My heart broke as she told me how she wanted to attend church. She wanted to raise her children in the church and to know God, but she was met with so much judgment and so many harsh words that she didn't go. And it was, cried with her. She was just so distraught. James says in verse 13 of chapter 2, kind mercy wins over harsh judgment every time. We're all children of God. Jesus was the Passover lamb for all people. The same gospel unites all people in Christ. When we show partiality and favoritism, we're sinning against God. Jesus offers us unconditional grace. Who are we not to offer that same unconditional grace to others? If we, those of us here listening to God's word and knowing God's love, don't build that bridge, who will? And again, back to the royal rule, love others as you love yourself. Describe Jesus' appearance. You really can't. Scripture doesn't say what Jesus looked like, but it can be assumed that he was ordinary. Several times in scriptures, Jesus just faded into the crowd. But I believe that adds to Jesus' draw. People weren't drawn to the George Clooney version of Jesus. The packaging, they were drawn to Jesus' spirit. So the flip side of judgment is wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. Remember after Jesus turned water into wine, his brothers went and told him to come home. James didn't have wisdom yet to discern who Jesus was. That didn't come until after Jesus' resurrection. But false wisdom is thinking we have everything figured out. It's self-reliance and a lack of submission to God's will. I think of Solomon, the greatest king in Israel's history, and King Henry VIII. Solomon understood that all good and perfect things come from God, including his reign over Israel. Henry, on the other hand, believed that he was God. He was responsible for all the good of England. He was sovereign. True wisdom is trusting and relying on the sufficiency of God's sovereignty. True wisdom from God is pure, peaceful, gentle, and easy to please. If we seek wisdom, godly wisdom, we can have these things. James 3, 13 through 18 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace." The attitude of submission walks with pride. If we think we aren't sheep, if we think we don't need a shepherd, submission is giving up our rights and trusting God to provide. I know I have shared with some the stories about being God's partner and helping to take care of God's people. Giving over control of my footsteps to God. It's very freeing to give up control of your life. Hear these words from James 4, 1 through 10. "Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scripture says, 'God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives all the more grace.' Therefore it says, 'God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." The basis of Jesus' ministry was the royal rule of Scripture: love your neighbor as yourself. And James's writings come from that same place. If you love your neighbor, you aren't judging them. If you love your neighbor, you are allowing wise counsel from God to guide your dealings. Amen.